Acts chapter 14, and let's stand together out of respect for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 14 tonight, and music has been wonderful all day. I'm going to really appreciate the music this evening, and certainly uplifting and Christ honoring. Verse number 23 is where we are, Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, and we're finishing now our study in Acts chapter 14, moving, Lord willing, next week into chapter 15. But we come this evening, Acts chapter 14, verse 23, down to the end of this chapter. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they passed throughout Pisidia and Pamphylia, and when they preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia, and thence they sailed to Antioch. And from thence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come together, they had gathered the church and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And that is a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. But that is not the passage of Scripture of which I intended to read this evening. So chapter 15 also then, and verse 36 to verse 41. I would have appreciated anybody at some point saying, Pastor, we covered this material. Move on to chapter 15. Thank you so much, Michael. All right, verse 36 then. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas. That's a whole lot more in line with the notes that I have tonight, all right? And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. So they want a follow-up visit of all these places, of which we just unintentionally, but read about nonetheless, all right? So verse 37 then. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with him, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was, say these next two words with me, say them with me, so sharp. And the contention was so sharp between them. And they departed asunder, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren. Who did the brethren recommend? Paul and Silas. Who did the brethren recommend? Paul and Silas. And the brethren, the church, recommending Paul and Silas, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. God, use your word, we ask, in our hearts and lives. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We're coming to the end of chapter 15 now. This past week, a man and I were in the middle of a discussion. We don't fight in our house. We just have discussions, right? Of which she always ends up being right. How's that possible? How is she always right when these discussions? We're having a discussion, and I said this phrase to her. I said, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. You ever heard that phrase before? She said, I said, we're going to have to agree to disagree. She said, no, you're going to agree that you were wrong. I said, ouch, you know? I said, yes, ma'am, it turns out I was wrong, just so you know, right? The contention here with Paul and Barnabas is not simply in agreeing to disagree. It is not simply and agreeing to disagree. Listen to the strong language of verse 39. The contention, the fighting, the bickering, the arguing, the contention. It was sharp between them. The language is double-edged. That's the language. It's double-edged between them. It's sharp. It's cutting. It's double-edged. So they departed. They left. They walked out. They departed. They walked away. They departed. Contention. Sharp. Departed. Asunder. And that word asunder is used at the end of Hebrews chapter 11. When the writer of Hebrews is talking about how the martyrs for the faith were torn asunder. They were ripped apart by dogs and lions. They were torn asunder. They were ripped apart. Listen to the language. Contention. Sharp. Leaving. Departing. Walking away. Ripping apart. Man, you ever been in a situation like that? Anybody ever been in a situation like that? Or just me and Rosemary? I just want to know. Okay. Everybody else is asleep then? Okay. Here you have the Apostle Paul and Barnabas in a very difficult situation over the matter of a difference of opinion. And what you need to notice is this is not a matter of doctrine. This is a matter of opinion surrounding one man by the name of John Mark. This is a difference of opinion on what John Mark should do in Paul and Barnabas's ministry. I've heard it said wisely, opinions are like armpits. Everyone has a couple and most of them stink. This is the difference of opinion on whether John Mark should go and whether John Mark shouldn't go. And in this moment of decision, where there is a difference of opinion on whether John Mark should or shouldn't go, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas must make a judgment call. That's what they're both doing in this passage. The Apostle Paul makes a judgment call to say that John Mark should not go. And Barnabas makes a judgment call to say that John Mark should go. So what is a judgment call? It's defined. A judgment call is a decision based on our wisdom and our experience. A judgment call is a decision based on one's own wisdom and experience. Not necessarily right, not necessarily wrong, just a judgment call. Based on my experience, based on my wisdom, I'm looking at this situation with John Mark, and I don't think he should go. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Barnabas looking at the same situation, and based on his experience and based on his wisdom, he thinks that he should go. It's not a matter of doctrine. It's simply a matter of difference of opinion. And in the difference of opinion, one person or another must make a decision based off of their wisdom and experience. They must make a judgment call. But what you need to notice from this text is, number one, that not every decision is a decree. I hereby order that on the 24th day of the ninth month of the year 2017, one must always choose John Mark. No, that's not what's happening here. What's happening in this passage? It is simply a decision being made based off of one person's wisdom and experience in light of another person's wisdom and experience. Sometimes a decision is not a decree. A decision is just a judgment call. Sometimes a decision is not necessarily a statement made. It's just a judgment call. Sometimes a decision is not someone setting a direction. It's simply someone making a judgment call based off of their wisdom and based off of their experience. This is the decision that they are making. Man, a lot of times in life, we make decisions that aren't matters of doctrine. They're simply matters of judgment call. It's just a matter of our own wisdom, our own experience, leading us to make a certain decision about a certain point of view or about a certain incident or about a certain thing. We're simply making a judgment call. How many of you realize you're making a judgment call on deciding what restaurant you're going to eat at tomorrow? And not necessarily a doctrinal thing, just a matter of opinion. Do you feel like eating Mexican food or do you feel like eating Chinese food? Do you feel like going to In-N-Out or do you feel like going to MVP's? Do you feel like Korean barbecue? Do you feel like King's Buffet? It's just, it's not a matter of doctrine. It's just based on your own experience, based on your own wisdom. Where do you want to eat? Well, I ate heavy this afternoon, so I need to eat light all next week, right? I'm eating nothing but salad for the rest of the week based on the amount of food I took in this afternoon. It's not a matter of decision, or it's not a matter of doctrine. It's just a judgment call being made. Man, so many times in parenting, it's not a matter of doctrine. It's just a matter of a judgment call based on my own experiences, based on my own wisdom. This is the decision that I'm making for my family. This is the decision that I'm making for the kids who were entrusted to me. This is the decision that I'm making in regards to what I do with my family. We had a wonderful conversation with some great friends. They're here, and we'll leave it at that. But we had a wonderful conversation last night with some great friends, and this was basically the whole gist of the conversation was, man, sometimes in your own family, you make your own personal decisions, you wrestle, you struggle based on your experiences, based on your own wisdom, and then you look back and go, you know what, change that decision. And then you look back and change that decision. And then you go back and you change that decision. Why? Because experience, because of wisdom, because of this, because of that. Man, you're just making judgment calls. Of all the people in the Bible who have great friendships, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are some of the greatest examples of what friendship is all about. Man, of some of the great friendships in the Bible, you can name David and Jonathan, right? Man, great friendships. They really, John and Jesus, great friendship. The loved apostle, the apostle who laid on the chest of Jesus. Man, great friendship, David, Jonathan. Great friendship, John and Jesus. Man, a great friendship, Paul and Barnabas. It was Barnabas in Acts chapter 9 who went down to Jerusalem and stood up for Paul after Paul had been converted. It's Barnabas who encouraged the believers at Jerusalem to welcome Paul into the fold. It was Barnabas who, when he was assigned to the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, things were going so good at Antioch. Things were amazing that Barnabas left his position at Antioch, traveled all the way over to Tarsus, picked up Paul, brought him back to Tarsus, and said, I need help in the ministry. You and me, let's serve together in the ministry. Man, you talk about great friendships. It was Barnabas and Paul who went into the mouth of the lion, and they spent time in Jerusalem. They ministered there. They delivered the offering from the church in Antioch. They delivered to the church that was in Jerusalem. And then together they stood, the Bible says. Together they stood and they ministered to the church that was at Jerusalem. And it was while they were there at Jerusalem that they met John Mark, who is the nephew of Barnabas. John Mark grew up in the midst of things. It's John Mark. His mother is named Mary. There's many Marys in the Bible, but his mother is named Mary. When Peter was released from prison at midnight and he leaves the prison, he heads to the house of a lady by the name of Mary. That's where the church is gathered. Locked doors, candles blown out, curtains pulled too, having a prayer meeting for Peter. And he knocks on the door and he says, it's me. And the little girl says, no way. And he knocks on the door and he says, it's me. Go tell him it's me. Because that house is the house of John Mark. His mother, Mary, owned that house. She was very affluent in the church there at Jerusalem. And it's there that Paul and Barnabas meet John Mark. And John Mark decides that he will travel with Paul and Barnabas. And then they get to Perga in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. And John Mark quits. John Mark gives up. Paul even says it in the passage here. John Mark should not go with us. Why? Because he left us. Because when we needed him to go, he wouldn't go. He backed out. He departed. He He chose to return to the comforts of Jerusalem, even though it wasn't all that comforting. But he chose to return to the comforts at Jerusalem instead of to press forward with the gospel on Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. We don't know how bad it was. We just know that it was obviously bad. We don't know how great the pressures were. We just know that the pressures were great. So Paul and Barnabas returned from their first journey. They returned home rejoicing, which is what we accidentally read at the very first thing, Acts chapter 14. They rejoice of all that God's done. They go back down to Jerusalem. They defend the doctrine of grace. At the beginning of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas are standing and speaking together. And at the end of Acts 15, they won't even speak to each other. Isn't that interesting? At the beginning of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas, they're standing up, they're speaking, they're preaching to the church together. Man, by the end of Acts 15, they won't even talk to each other. Man, what do we do when good men disagree? What do we do when good men disagree? How do we handle disagreements? It goes several things. The Apostle Paul, with his adventurous spirit, says to Barnabas, let's go back. Let's go back to all the churches we were just at, and let's revisit them. I mean, he has a short-term memory, because here he is thinking, like, we were just beaten, we were just ran out of town, we were just almost executed, we just barely escaped with our... The Apostle Paul, let's go back. Barnabas says, yeah, let's go back. This time, let's take John Mark. The Apostle Paul, I don't think so. Barnabas, look, I know John Mark bailed us the first time, but listen, a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. That's Old Testament. We should do this. We should take him. No, I don't think we should take him, because he bailed on us when we needed him the most. Yeah, but give him another chance. I mean, you remember how I gave you a chance. Yeah, you did give me a chance, but John Mark doesn't deserve the same chance, so no. Yeah, but I really think he should go. Yeah, I really think he shouldn't go. Yeah, but I would really like for him to go. Yeah, but I would really like for him not to go. Yeah, but I want him to go. Yeah, but I don't want him to go. Yes. No. Yes. No. You're ugly. Your mama's ugly. I don't know. That's in the Greek, maybe. I don't like your driving. I don't like your navigating. Right? I don't know what they'll argue. The contingent is sharp. Barnabas says, fine, I'll take somebody else. And Paul chose Silas. You hear the language? Paul chose Silas. He said, fine, you take John Mark, and I'll take Silas. Man, the contention was sharp. What do we do when good men disagree? A couple just easy ideas. Number one, ministry difficulty is often more about relationship and less about doctrine. Write it down. Ministry difficulty is often more about relationship and less about doctrine. Rarely do people split over a major doctrinal disagreement. It does happen, but it's a rare thing that happens. Most of the time, ministry difficulty is centered on personal relationships and less on doctrinal importance. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas both, they agreed with the core fundamentals of the faith. In fact, they both stood at the beginning of this chapter and they both defended, and thank God they did, they both defended the doctrine of grace. I mean, one of the pillars of the church, they both defended the doctrine of grace. Man, the beginning of Acts, they stand and they speak together. At the end of Acts 15, they won't even speak to each other. Why? Because there was a relationship that got in the way of the relationship. Hear me. There was a relationship that got in the way of the relationship. Well, you don't like my friend? Well, I don't like you. Well, you didn't like my post? Well, I don't like your post. Well, you don't follow me on social media. Well, I don't follow you, right? I mean, this is like junior high stuff here, right? What's happening here is just literally junior high level. I don't like you. I don't like you. It's a matter of relationship. Man, not a matter of doctrine. Man, I think it's important to remember that. Are we arguing? Are we disagreeing? Are we fighting? Man, over relationship? Or are we arguing, disagreeing, fighting? Man, over matters of doctrine, over things that are important, over things that affect eternity. Man, most ministry difficulty, hear me on this point, most ministry difficulty is centered around relationship and not centered on doctrine. I mean, we try to paint it up and we try to say things like, oh, we're really contending for the faith on this thing. But the faith is not about whether the pastor uses the iPad when he preaches or whether he uses a note card when he preaches. That's not really contending for the faith. Everyone understand that? Three people understood that. Thank you. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Ministry difficulty is often less about doctrine and more about relationship. Man, that'll encourage us to develop strong relationships. Man, that'll encourage us to develop strong relationships. Lee Robertson said it this way. He said, your church will forgive you almost anything as long as they know you love them. Man, your church will forgive you almost anything as long as they know you love them. So, do you know I love you tonight, right? That's just preparation for the future, all right? Everybody sit tight. Everybody buckle up. I love you. You love me. We all love Jesus, all right? Man, ministry difficulty, less about doctrine, more about relationships. Number two, and isn't that how it goes? I just don't like that guy. He rubs me the wrong way. Man, what kind of world do we live in? Like, well, he rubs me the wrong way. I can't even go to church and think about Jesus because of that guy. Wow. That's difficult. Wow, okay. We got quiet, but we're all right. Number two. Man, there can be no real disappointment without genuine investment. There can be no real disappointment without genuine investment. The only people who can really let you down are the people you've helped up. The only people that can really let you down are the people that you've helped up. And by the way, the more you invest, the more you help, the more you give, the more you serve, the greater the opportunity to be hurt. Man, the more you give, the more you invest, the more you serve, the greater the opportunity for you to be hurt. Listen, if there wasn't a real investment on Barnabas and Paul's, from both of them, on their relationship, if there wasn't a real investment, if there wasn't real time spent, if there wasn't real love felt, man, there would be no real disappointment. I mean, you spend time loving people, and I promise you this way, people will hurt you. Man, you spend time investing in people. You spend time opening up and investing and giving and serving, and I promise you the people you love, invest, and serve in, man, I promise you those will be the ones that will have the potential to hurt you the most. I love what Lewis said on this point, C.S. Lewis writing on this very idea. He said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will break. Your heart will be broken. Your heart will be wrung. Man, to love is to be vulnerable. And you love anything, man, that thing will break your heart. It will wring your heart. All the Laker fans understand what that is like. Man, you love them. And they just every year just break your heart right in a row. Even with their recent draft picks, that's just heartbreaking. Man, love anything, it'll break your heart. Man, love anything at all, it'll break your heart. Listen to Lewis. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, then give it to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it up carefully. Surround it with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a coffin. But in that coffin, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will die. But in that coffin, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will die. Man, to love at all is to risk. Man, Paul and Barnabas, the contention is so sharp. Why? Because the relationship was so deep. Man, the contention was so hurtful. Why? Because there was so much love felt by either person, by both people who are, here are two men. Here are two men that are hurt by this. It's not one person's hurt and the other person walks away. No. They're both hurt. Paul is hurt by this. The Apostle Paul, almost of all the New Testament writers, the Apostle Paul takes relationships very personally. In fact, writing about relationships, the Apostle Paul says about the men that he's interacted with, he refers to them as sons in the faith. And he even refers to them about people in his own family. You think the Apostle Paul didn't care about personal relationships? No. Man, he cared greatly about it. He cared so much that he invested so much into people that he said, I've sunk as much into you as I would have my own children. Man, you think the Apostle Paul didn't care that Barnabas walked away? No, he certainly did. Man, the Apostle Paul had some rough edges about himself, but even at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's writing about Demas, and what does he say? Demas hath forsaken me. Why is he saying that? I mean, just months before he would lose his head, why would he say that? Man, because Demas hurt him. And Demas hurt me. Demas hath forsaken, what does he say? Me. There's a personal investment there on Paul's part, wasn't there? Are you with me tonight? Man, there was a personal investment. Demas hath forsaken me. He didn't say, Demas forsook God. Demas forsook the church. Demas forsook all the... No. He said, Demas forsook me. Man, the Apostle Paul was hurt by this. Man, Barnabas was hurt by this. Man, this was Barnabas' family. This is a young man that Barnabas loved. This is John Mark. He's his family. He's blood. Man, blood thicker than water. You ever heard that phrase? Blood thicker than water. Here it is, blood thicker. This is family. This is very personal to the apostle or to Barnabas. Man, very personal to the Apostle Paul. Very personal to Barnabas. Man, Barnabas is known in the New Testament as the son of encouragement. The son of consolation is what he's referred to. We studied that passage already. He's the son of consolation. That's what the church called him. The church said, this guy is Mr. Encouragement. Think about that. Man, how would you like that badge of honor from the church? Man, I don't know, but whenever I'm feeling down, I want to call brother so-and-so. I want to call sister so-and-so. They're Mr. or Mrs. Encouragement. Man, you think the apostle, you think Barnabas didn't care about personal relationships? Man, you'd be wrong. Man, Barnabas, man, he was deeply invested in personal relationships. Man, risk in authentic ministry, risk in authentic ministry, and I promise you this. You will be hurt. You will have your heart wrung. You will have your heart broken. But what's the alternative? Lock it in a box and leave it there, lifeless, airless, motionless, and your heart will die just the same. Man, ministry difficulty, more times than not, is about relationship, not about doctrine. Ministry difficulty, more times than not, man, ministry difficulty is a result of the deep investment that people have made. Ministry difficulty, listen, good men disagree. Man, sometimes good men, this is number three, sometimes good men can see the same situation differently. Sometimes good men can see the same situation, same circumstance, same situation, same guy, but they can see it differently. Man, scholars will argue all throughout the early church who was right, Barnabas or Paul? Who was right, Barnabas or Paul? Who was right, Barnabas or Paul? The answer is yes. Okay, who was wrong? Who was wrong, Barnabas or Paul? The answer is yes. But the church here, the church, verse number 40, the church recommends Paul and Silas moving forward. The church recommends them, but it doesn't say the church said they were right. No, the church recommended them. Why? Because that was the plan of God. The apostle Paul would be used in a very unique way moving forward inside the plan of God that did not include Barnabas. Man, it doesn't mean God didn't have a plan for Barnabas. It just meant God had a different plan for Paul. Who was right? Yes. Who was wrong? Yes. Man, Barnabas and Paul. Here are good men. You won't find any better men in the New Testament. Here are good men who watch and look at the same situation, the same circumstance, and they both agree and they both disagree. Man, so many times, write this down. This is it. We'll call it a night. So many times, they're coming to a situation and they're making a judgment call based on their predisposition, right? Paul is a man who in the New Testament is guided by principle. And in fact, when you get to the book of Galatians, you'll read about Paul confronting even the Apostle Peter. Galatians says that he withstood Peter to the face. How many of you know it takes a pretty bold person to get in the Apostle Peter's face, right? I mean, the Apostle Peter's a pretty tough guy. The Apostle Paul withstood Peter to the face. Listen, Peter, it is either right for the Jews to eat with those Gentiles who are eating that meat. It is either right or it is wrong. Stop going back and forth. He withstood Peter to the face. Didn't you know that even even Barnabas was even in that? Barnabas had stood with Peter throughout that controversy. Barnabas sided with Peter, and here comes Paul walking into the scene. Man, Paul, man, a man guided by principle. This is either right or this is wrong. This is either the way it is or the way it isn't. This is either white or it's black. It's either this or it's that. It's either true or it's false. You're going to get to decide. Paul is a man who is guided by principle. Barnabas is a man who is guided by potential. Barnabas is a man who's guided by potential. Why even go and mix it up with Saul? Except that he saw the potential in Saul, who we now know as Paul. Why even go and mix it up with John Mark? Because he saw potential in John Mark. Hear me on this point. Sometimes good men see the same situation, but they see it through different eyes. Sometimes good men see the same situation. One man guided by principle, one man guided by potential, same situation, but they're both calling the play completely different. He's safe, he's out. He's safe, he's out. No, I said he was safe. No, I said he was out. Man, 50% of the fans are going to really enjoy that call. 50% of the fans are going to really hate that call. But who makes that call? Man, Paul makes that call because why? Because he's a man guided by principle. Barnabas makes that call because he's a man guided by potential. I said it was the last one, but one more. Can I give you one more? It doesn't matter if you say no. I'm gonna do it anyway. So just take it. Just say yes and appease me. Thank you. God is greater than our disagreements. God blesses both men. Hey, hear me. God is greater than our disagreements. Who does God bless? Who does God really side with? God blesses both men. David says it this way, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Man, God blessed Barnabas. You know how I know that? You know how I know that? Because when Paul got to the end of his life, he's writing a letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he writes a letter to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, bring my coat, bring my books. You hurry up and get here. Demas left me. Alexander the coppersmith, he withstood me in the midst of the congregation. He did me much evil. Man, personal relationships. But bring John Mark, because he is, hear the words, profitable to me for the ministry. Who's he profitable to? Who's he profitable to? Bring John Mark. He is profitable to me. Man, did Barnabas choose wrong? Nope. At the end of Paul's life, who's he asking help from? He's asking help from John Mark. the man that he wouldn't take with him on his second journey. Wow, but would we dare say that God didn't bless Paul? Oh, absolutely not. Man, the gospel is taken to the Gentiles through the man, through the apostle, Paul. Hey, listen, God can bless both men. Who's right? Yes. Who's wrong? Yes. Man guided by potential, man guided by principle, making a judgment call based on their predispositions. Man, sometimes good people disagree. Hey, but listen, we should always be guided by grace. Man, let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray that you would use your word in our hearts and lives this evening. Father, thank you for the way that these two men, Father, these two men, had a disagreement. But there's so many lessons we can learn from them, so much time we could have given to this. So beneficial and practical for us. Father, may we learn from them. And may we grow. May we be helped. And may the cause of Christ, the gospel, be advanced.